Father in heaven, I am your servant, but I am weak because I'm human. I come to you today, God, and I ask you to help me as I try to the best of my ability to deliver this message, to do a spiritual work. I ask you today, God, as an expression of mercy, grant me your grace. Grant to me your spirit, Father, as I humble myself in your presence. My desire is to glorify you, God, by lifting up the truth. So help me to do that, I pray. Bless those listening to the word, whether in this building or via the internet, dear God, bless them in a very special way, I pray. Wherever your people are worshiping you in this country, or wherever that may be, bless them, I pray, Father. And at the end of this service, let us know we have met with our God and been touched by him. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. An everlasting love. Let us go to Matthew 10. We'll read verse 40. Matthew 10, verse 40. An everlasting love. Matthew 10, reading verse 40. When you found it, say amen. All right, many of you are still looking for Matthew. Is that 11:45? Roughly. I want to release you as soon as I can. So let's find those verses quickly. Matthew 10, verse 40, read with me. He that receiveth you, come on, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Let's reread that verse, this time microscopically. I want you to picture two sides of an equation. Listen to the verse. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. That's one side. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And so we have the disciple and Christ. We have Christ and God the Father. Listen again. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. That's Christ and the disciple. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That's Christ and God. We have a balanced equation. Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Let's see something else. You know the story of the sheep and the goats? Don't want to go through the whole thing. Well, let's read from verse 31. It's always good to read the Bible. Matthew 25, reading from verse 31, our subject, an everlasting love. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now Jesus proceeds to explain why they are being given the kingdom. For I was an hungry, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. That's what Jesus says. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Now read verse 40 with me carefully. And the king shall answer and say unto them, what? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Let's read that again. Inasmuch, or to the same extent, to the same degree that you've done it unto one of the least. Now, who is the least? Let's try to determine who the least is by trying to figure out who is the highest or the greatest. We know there are three human beings in heaven. Well, four actually, but one of them is both God and man. But there are three who are just human beings. Name them: Enoch, Moses, and Elijah. Now, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. God just took him. Elijah went up in a chariot. Moses died. Christ came down, resurrected him. These men are special. Moses, the only man to speak virtually face to face with God. And Moses was so close to God, when he came up the mount, his face was shining. It shone so brightly, he had to wear a veil. Now, surely, these are the greatest. Jesus says, inasmuch as he's done it unto one of the least, who might that be? The demoniac of the Gadarenes, out of whom Christ cast 2,000 devils. Or the thief on the cross, in the last few moments of his life, he surrendered to Christ. Surely, they're the least. Jesus says, if you do something to the least of one of my brethren, I view that as having been done to me. Which means that there is a relationship between Christ and the disciples that is close, between Christ and the believer. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 9. See something else. Our subject, an everlasting love. Acts 9. We'll read from verse 1. When you found that, say amen. All right, some of you are still looking. I heard nothing from the back. Have you found Acts chapter 9? Reading from verse 1. The Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly they shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, what? Saul, Saul, come on, finish the verse. Why persecutest thou me? Now, what was Saul doing? Arranging for Christians to be killed, binding them in chains, throwing them into prison, breaking into their houses, dragging them out. Jesus said, I feel that. I feel what you're doing to my people. You're persecuting me. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. There is a relationship between Christ and the church that is intimate and close. So close that what happens to the church happens to Christ. Or let me say that differently. Whatever the church feels, Christ feels. If that is clear, say amen. But the same relationship exists between the Father and the Son. Let's go to John chapter 15. We'll read from verse 9. Our subject is what? An everlasting love. John 15, reading from verse 9. When you found that, say amen. As the Father hath loved me, that's this side, so have I loved you. In other words, the same way the Father loves the Son, that's how the Son loves the believer. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Again, we see the Son, the believer, Christ, the Father. Let's go to John 6. Let's emphasize that relationship between the Father and the Son. John 6, and between the Son and the believer. John 6, we'll read verse 57. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And so Jesus said, while I was on the earth, the same way I was sustained by the Father is the same way you are sustained by me. Let me repeat. What the believer suffers, Jesus feels. But if that's the case for Jesus and the believer, it must also be the case for Jesus and the Father. Do I need to say that again? Remember favor number three. What's that? Think. Listen to me carefully. Jesus says, as I live by the Father, so you live by me. The same way Jesus told Saul, why are you persecuting me? Anyone who persecutes the Son is persecuting the Father. Listen to Jesus. He that loveth me not, he that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If you hate Jesus, you automatically hate the Father. What Jesus feels, the Father feels. Is that clear? Say amen. Amen. All right. Now keep this as a foundation stone. Let us recite John 3:16. Don't look down, recite it. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'll say it and you listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Keep this in mind. Listen to what the Bible says is the highest expression of love. John 15, this reading verse 12 to 13. John 15, 12 and 13. Are you there? Read with me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now 13, greater love, come on, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Stop. Think. What's the greatest expression of love? To die for somebody. To lay down your life for somebody. Now, when I say follow me, I really mean it. You have to concentrate if you have not concentrated all week. Listen carefully to the Bible and what I'm saying. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man do what? Lay down his life, not someone else's. But listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. What should the verse say? For God so loved the world that he gave his life. Now, we have to resolve what seems like a problem. There are no problems in the Bible. The problems are all in our heads. Are you following me? Now, we just established what a believer experiences, Jesus feels. And we notice there's a balance. What Jesus experiences, finish my words, the Father feels. If you hate Jesus, you hate the Father. If you love Jesus, you love the Father. They cannot be separated. Now, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's suffering, he's bleeding through his skin. In Desire of Ages, page 693, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes these words, the Father suffered with his Son. What does that mean? Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Matthew 26, 36, 37, and 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I am suffering. Now, Ellen White tells us, the Father suffered with his Son. So what was the Father suffering? The very same thing that Jesus was suffering. Go to Hebrews 2. Let me continue to try to clarify this concept. What's our subject? An everlasting love. I want you to see that the Father suffered as Jesus suffered. The same way Jesus suffers when the church suffers, the Father suffered when Jesus suffered. What book did I say? Hebrews chapter 2, Let's read verse 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9, our subject, an everlasting love. It's 12 o'clock on the dot. When you found that, say amen. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, clothed with what? Glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, keep reading, should taste death for every man. Pause. What do you understand by taste death? What do you understand by taste death? He experienced death. He felt the horrors of death. Now prepare yourself for this statement. Jesus experienced death while he was still alive. Let me say it again differently. A dead person cannot experience the horrors of death. For many people, death is a release from suffering. Jesus experienced death while he was still alive. Why is that necessarily so? Because the Bible says the dead know nothing. If the dead know nothing, a dead person cannot experience the horrors of death. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. Now listen to this statement, the Desire of Ages, page 694, paragraph 1. Christ's agony did not cease, but his depression and discouragement left him. The storm had in no wise abated, but he that was its object was strengthened to meet its fury. He came forth, that's from the garden, calm and serene. A heavenly peace rested upon his blood-stained face, for he had borne that which no human being could ever bear. He had tasted the sufferings of death for every man. The servant of the Lord tells us in Gethsemane, Jesus tasted death. When? While he was still, come on, alive. He is the only person to have that experience. Let me add some evidence to that. Here's Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here's Christ on the cross. When did he say, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me? In Gethsemane, not on the cross. On the cross, Jesus was thinking of others. On the cross, he told John, Son, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. He arranged for his mother to live somewhere while he was on the cross. On the cross, he looked down on those who crucified him and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross, he's saving people. On the cross, he turns to the thief on the right. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. On the cross, Christ's focus was others. In Gethsemane, his focus was him. Three times the Bible says, he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He was suffering, and the servant of the Lord tells us, the Father suffered with his Son. Listen to me carefully. In the sufferings of Christ, God the Father gave himself. Let me say it again. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But he gave his begotten Son as the means whereby he could give himself. If you read the Gospels carefully, Jesus came on a mission from the Father. You read the Gospel of John, see how many times it says, The Father sent me. He sent me. More times in John than any other book of the Bible. He sent me. He sent me. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. Christ's mission on earth was to carry out a mission from the Father. The plan was the Father would give himself through Christ. Now here comes the amazing part. Jesus tasted death while he was alive. Then he died. Are you with me? Let me say it again. Jesus tasted death in Gethsemane. Then he went to the cross and died. That death stopped all his suffering. Are you following me? In Gethsemane, the Father tasted with Jesus what Jesus tasted. But the Father didn't go to the cross. Jesus went to the cross and had relief for 3 days. The Father had none. Am I talking to myself? Listen to me again. Jesus suffered in Gethsemane. He bled through his skin. He tasted death while he was alive. Then he went to the cross. He died on the cross. His suffering ended when he died. The Father didn't go to the cross. He kept on suffering. Because the Father loves us. My brothers, my sisters, through Christ, God the Father gave himself. And I want you to reflect on that. Through Christ, God the Father gave himself. He sent Christ to save the sinners. Everything Christ did was at the instruction of the Father. The plan of salvation, even creation, was at the instruction of the Father. And salvation at the instruction of the Father. I say again, God the Father loved us so much. He devised a way whereby he could give himself. And that way was through Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. God loves us with what kind of love? An everlasting love. How do we respond to that? Can I give up a cigarette for a God who loved me so much? Can I give up alcohol for a God who loved me so much? Can I give up pornography for a God who sacrificed so much and is still suffering? That's why the Bible says, how shall we escape? Come on, say it with me. If we neglect what? So great salvation. My brother and my sister, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are the friends of God. We are the friends of Jesus. When Jesus said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, that automatically meant we are the Father's friends. Because Jesus said, he that hateth me, hateth my Father. Turn that around. He that loves me, loves my Father. He who is a friend to me, is a friend to my Father. And the suffering Jesus endured on that cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Father suffered with him. Jesus went to the cross, died, had temporary relief from his suffering. The Father kept on suffering. For the 3 days Christ was in the cross, he felt nothing because he was dead. He told us in Revelation 1:17-18, I was dead, and the dead know nothing. That applied to Christ. The Father, he kept on suffering and suffering and suffering, and still suffers today because sin has not yet been eradicated. We have not yet overcome sin, and the Father still suffers along with his Son. My brothers and my sisters, the Bible says, inasmuch as ye've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, says Jesus, ye've done it to me. And Jesus says to the world, inasmuch as ye've done it unto my Son. Finish my words. Ye have done it unto me. The relationship between Christ and the believer is so close that what happens to the believer, Jesus feels it even now. There is a mother who is grieving the fact that her son has left the church. Jesus grieves with you. There is a woman who is grieving the fact that her husband has abandoned her, or a man grieving the fact that his wife ran off with another man. Jesus Christ seals that terrible agony. Because he and his people are one in the same way. There is a God who feels the agony that his son feels, who felt the agony his son felt in the Garden of Gethsemane. My brothers, my sisters, I thank God for Jesus. Do not misunderstand me. Jesus came voluntarily. The Father sent him, yes, but the Father didn't shove him. The Father didn't force him. He agreed to come. When he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Here's Jesus. Here's the world. Here's the Father. Jesus says, Father, I'm suffering. Please get me out of this. The Father realizes, if I get him out of it, the world has to suffer it. The Father says, you take it, that the world might not have to take it. That's an everlasting love the Father has. Listen to Jesus on the cross. My God, finish it. Why hast thou forsaken me? You see, the Father had to forsake the Son at one point in order not to forsake the world. Only six people following me. Listen again. Jesus cried, my God, what? Why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't say them, me. But the Father had to forsake the Son in order not to forsake the world. That's an everlasting love. Now say with me the most popular verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world. That's the world right there. That he gave his only begotten Son. Now God had a choice. Who will I allow to go to the cross? The world or my Son? His Son. That the world might not have to... What I'm telling you is this. Listen to me carefully now. This will knock your shoes off. The Father, even though he suffered with the Son, but it was the Son that went into the grave. The Father was willing to lose the Son forever. If that is what it took to have us with him forever. That is an everlasting love. You heard my words. You did not understand what I said. The Father was willing to say goodbye to his Son forever. If that is what it took to save the world. The Desire of Ages, page 690, paragraph 3. The servant of the Lord writes, he will save man at any cost to himself. And what does that mean? Let the parable of the lost sheep tell us. What man of you, having 100 sheep, Luke 15 from verse 3, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost? What's the next word? Until. Until. What does that mean to you? Until there is no giving up. There is no quitting in God. He goes after one sheep until he finds it. Which is the same thing as at any cost. Now let me explain something about that parable. Remember David killed a lion? What other wild animal did he kill? A bear. Remember Samson caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, burned down the farms of the Philistines? Remember Samson killed a lion and there was a parable he told because bees made a hive in the ribs? Okay. What this means is, there were wild animals in that part of the world in the days of Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, they were all hunted to extinction. I mean, out of that part of the world. There are no more lions in the Middle East, no more bears, maybe a few wolves, but the wild animals are gone. The ravenous ones. But in the days of Jesus, there were lions, there were bears, there were terrible animals. So when the shepherd went looking for that sheep, he went at the risk of his life. For one sheep. Who is that sheep? Point. Let me see who that sheep is. Point. This sheep. My brothers and sisters, God's love for us is an everlasting love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. No wonder the Bible says, We love him, finish it for me, because he first loved us. Now, the same way, what the believer experiences, Jesus experiences. The same way, what Jesus goes through, the Father experiences. It is the same way the sacrifice the Father made to save us must be reproduced in us. Let me say it differently. As the Father gave himself in Christ, as Christ gave himself, we must give ourselves. Here's how salvation works. Christ gave himself 100%. Our response must be a 100% surrender of the life to God. Let me say it again. 99.9% will not work because the devil is controlling 0.01. I didn't say that clearly. Let me say it again. The life must be surrendered to God as fully as God surrendered to our needs for salvation. As verily as Christ gave his life completely, as verily as the Father gave himself in Christ, so verily must we give ourselves to God completely. It is the total giving from heaven plus the total giving from the earth that allows salvation to work. We must give ourselves to God as fully as he gave himself to us. No wonder so few people are converted. Because a total surrender to God is a very rare thing. Most people surrender to God most of their lives, most of their heart, most of the time, but never fully. That is why we do not experience the power of God, because our surrender is partial. If Christ had made a partial sacrifice, if the Father had made a partial sacrifice, salvation would never be effective. And until you and I learn to respond to the Father's love by giving ourselves as fully as he gave himself, the salvation that Christ suffered to make available to us will never have its effect in our lives. We must give God an everlasting love as far as a human being can, as God gave an everlasting love to us. And so the Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the Passai version, For God so loved the world that he gave himself in his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you grateful for that kind of love? You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13? And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, which is love. These three. Finish that verse. But the greatest of these is love or charity. Do you know, in the Desire of Ages, page 92, paragraph 5, Ellen White writes, The power that healed the sick, or the virtue that went out of Christ to heal the sick, was the power of love? Let me say it again. When Christ healed the woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, the Bible says, I perceive, that's what Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. Virtue left me. The servant of the Lord writes, the virtue that left Christ to heal people was the healing power of love. Love heals, love saves, love forgives, love casts out demons, love does all that is necessary for a blessed life. And this love is an unending, everlasting love. It flows from the heart of the Father. My brother, my sister, my call to you, give your life to a God who gave his life for you. Give your life to a Savior who went into the grave and suffered for you. Give your life to the heavenly family, because I don't want to leave out the Holy Ghost. We have to include Him. The Father gave Himself through Christ. Christ also gave Himself, went to the grave. What about the Holy Ghost? Is the entire family of heaven involved in this everlasting love? The answer is yes. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's take a look at the role of the Holy Ghost in this drama of the suffering of Christ, a suffering the Father experienced. Hebrews chapter 9, reading verse 14. Our subject, an everlasting love. 21 minutes after 12. Do you have Hebrews 9? What verse did I say? 14. When you found it, read it with me. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit did what? Offer himself to God without spot. Now, the Bible says Jesus offered himself, you see, as a sacrifice to the Father. But he did it how? Through the Holy Spirit. No, I can't explain that. What I can tell you, the sacrifice of Christ involved Father, come on, Son, come on, and Holy Ghost. Now, we know the one who went into the grave was the Son. We know the Father suffered, and since the Spirit knows everything the Father knows and everything Jesus knows, surely the Spirit suffered, because the Bible says we can grieve the Spirit. Am I right? Yes or no? Yes. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What I'm telling you this morning, the Father suffered, the Son suffered, the Holy Spirit suffered. Let's extend it. Are there angels in heaven? Huh? Who is the commander of the angels? Jesus. The angels are watching Christ sweat blood. What do you think is going to their hearts? They're watching him beaten by the soldiers and punched. What do you think is going through their hearts? They watch him nailed to the cross. My brothers and sisters, the Father suffered. The Son suffered and died. The Holy Spirit suffered. The angels suffered. An everlasting love. All of heaven involved in our salvation. And God says to us, come. Come to me. Now, having heard about the love of God as I presented it this morning, why would God want to hurt you? Why would you conclude God is hurting me? God didn't give me this. God didn't give me that. God doesn't like me because he doesn't give me what I asked for. Why would we think like that when we realize the love that God has for us? We need to realize that sometimes or no from, not sometimes, every time God says no, it is an expression of everlasting love. When he says yes, it is an expression of love. A God who suffered with his Son will never withhold from you anything that's good for you. What does the Bible say? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Give me another word for uprightly. Obediently. My appeal to you today, have you given your life to Christ? 100%. I got a text from someone. It says, Pastor, I have this struggle. And I said, have you surrendered your life to God 100%? You see, the Bible says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. When we abide in Christ, and Christ in us, there is no weakness that we cannot conquer. Because the power to conquer is the power that brought Christ from the grave. You heard words, you didn't hear what I said. Let me put it differently. Which is a greater problem to solve? Smoking or death? Come on, talk to me. Huh? Smoking. What's the greater problem to solve? Alcoholism or raising the dead? Alcoholism. Are you with me? The Bible says the power God gives to us is the power that raises the dead. That's the power available to stop smoking. Which means that God kills a flea with a sledgehammer. Are you following me? He kills a flea with a sledgehammer. A man who is in Christ must understand he has the power to conquer every weakness. A woman who is in Christ must understand she has the power to conquer every weakness, because the power is the victorious life of Christ himself. And so the Bible says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power to stop telling lies is the power that Christ used to come back from the dead. The power to stop being lazy is the power that reverses debts. And God makes this power available. There's not a man, not a woman listening to my voice in this building via the internet that cannot conquer something that has terrorized your life for years. I mean years. The victory is in Christ. Give the life to him, that God who gave himself in his Son. The Son who came willingly. The Spirit who mysteriously was involved in the giving of the Son. Hebrews 9:14. The angels who grieved as they saw their commander suffering. All of heaven loves you. Is that all the amens I get for that? All of heaven loves you. Not the person next to you. Take the Bible personally. All of heaven loves you. So when you read John 3:16, you should say, whatever your name is, Susie, for God so loved Susie. For God so loved Manuela, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Manuela believes, she should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God so loved Dr. Jim, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Dr. Jim believes, he should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must read the Bible personally. Will you not give your life to Christ? Will you not respond to this love? A love that the angels don't even understand. It's a mysterious thing. There are two mysteries in the Bible, the mystery of sin and the mystery of godliness, which is the mystery of love. How could God, the Son, come down and be one of us? How could the great God arrange to enter a woman's womb and spend 9 months? How can the great God allow himself to be a baby whose diapers needed to be changed? How can you understand God being breastfed by a woman? He did it. Give me one word why he did it. One word. Love. Describe that love. Everlasting love. Now he's saying to you, respond. Give me your life. Give me your life. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Finish it. I will give you rest. Now listen to what Jesus says of himself. I am the way, the truth. The truth. Listen to the truth. Come unto me. Who? All ye that labor. Who is all? Men? Women? Rich? Poor? Educated? Uneducated? Married? Single? Come. But come where? Unto me. That's a person. He didn't say come to a church, even though he has a church. But the first step is come to me. Listen to me. That verse is literal. Come to me. And you come up here. I will give you rest. Why will Jesus give us rest? Jesus only gives us what we cannot give to ourselves. Staying away from work is not the rest Christ is talking about. It means the rest from of the soul, the rest from guilt, the rest from a troubled conscience, the rest from anxiety, the rest from worry, the rest from always looking over your shoulder to see who's following you, the rest from worrying what will happen tomorrow. Christ says, come to me, I will take away all of that. Come to me. And that invitation is for you today. And I'm going to ask you, how many of you are grateful to God for this everlasting love? Can I see your right hand? This everlasting love, hands down. Did you mean that when you raised your hands? You know, God is the God who confirms things. Let's confirm. You are grateful for the love of God. Can I see your hand again? Stand up. Have you ever wondered why preachers always ask people to stand? When the Israelites were about to leave Egypt, what feast were they partaking of? Passover. How were they instructed to eat that feast? Standing up. When you're standing, you're ready to move. Are you following me? That's why when a policeman arrests you, they tell you, sit there. Sit there, kneel there. Don't stand. A man who's standing is ready for action. And so we say, stand on your feet. Think more clearly. Listen carefully. Is there someone listening to me? You have never given your life to Christ 100%. You have never given your life to Christ 100%. And you want to do that now? Come. Surely, I'm not talking to most of you. I am talking to that man or that woman who has never given the life to Christ 100%. If you're willing to do that now, come. 100. Come as close as you can. Come. 100. Which means your life is no longer yours. It has to be run by Christ. That is the secret of a blessed life, and the blessedness extends from this life to the life to come. My call is 100%. So that your eyes belong to God, your ears belong to God, your mouth belongs to God, your reproductive organs belong to God. And I won't go any further on that. You are giving yourself to God 100%. Come. And mean it. As you come, listen to this word. From the writings of the servant of the Lord, genuine conversion is needed not once in years, but daily. Which means when you rise tomorrow, you make this commitment again. Father, here is my life, 100%. When I was preparing for this message, sitting back there, I said, Father, here I am. My voice is yours. My diaphragm is yours. My lungs are yours. My soft palate is yours. My tongue is yours. All of me is yours. Use me to present this message. All of me, yours. This has to be done every day. Anyone else? Father, here I am, 100%. I have another question for you. There's one thing God wants from all of us. Give me one word. What's that? Don't be so slow. What is that? Obedience. There's someone listening to me. You do not keep God's seventh-day Sabbath, but you love Him. You've learned about it this week. May you be even known about it before this week. and you want to say to God, Father, your word says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I choose to believe that Christ can help me to keep his seventh-day Sabbath. If you're not a Sabbath keeper, as God would have you to be, and you want me to pray for you and say, Father, help me to keep your seventh-day Sabbath so I can keep your whole law, raise your hand. You want God to help you to keep the Sabbath. No, hands down. You're not a Sabbath keeper right now. You're not. You want to start keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath, raise your hand. God bless you. All right. You want to keep God's holy Sabbath, God bless you. This is so serious. Come right up here. Come. Don't be afraid. Come right up here. Don't be afraid. Come right up here. Come. I want to keep God's seventh-day Sabbath. Come. Oh, don't be afraid, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right next to me. Come. Work your way through the group and come. I want to observe God's seventh-day Sabbath. Come. If you're not a Sabbath keeper, you want to do it, come. Who is coming? Is that brother coming? Tell him come. If he's coming, tell him come. Somebody else, come. I want to obey you, Father. I need help. Come. I need help. Come right down. And I'll pray and let you go. Somebody else, come. I want to obey God. Keep his commandments, including the fourth. You know what Jesus told the rich young ruler? Yet lackest thou one thing. For many of us, we lack one thing, obedience to God's fourth commandment. Come. Anybody else? Come. Father, I can do all things through Christ. I can obey you through Christ. The law is not hard. The heart of man is hard. But we blame the law, because that's the way the sinner functions. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. So we blame God's law. The Bible says that commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. They're easy. The heart is hard. When you give it to God, he softens it. Somebody else, come. I want to keep God's holy Sabbath day. Come. Come. I want to keep God's holy Sabbath day. Come. Then I pray. Come, my brother, come. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Who's that? Let her through. Let her through. Or him through. Whoever it is. Come. Come. I want to obey God. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Never stop blessing you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Now someone come and take the names, please, so I can pray for you. Someone come and take these names quickly. Here's some paper. Someone with a pen, write the names there for me. Anybody else? I want to obey God. You've stood to say, I give my life 100%. Out of that total commitment must be a desire to obey God. 100%. And the commandment most people break is number 4, remember the Sabbath day. Come. 60 seconds and I pray. I want to obey God's fourth commandment. I'm keeping 9. One more. Come. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. From my heart, God bless you. Someone else, come. Even if you're afraid, come. Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in him. 45 seconds. I want to obey God. I'm keeping 9 commandments. He loved me so much, he gave himself. Let me show love for him by obeying him. 40 seconds. Come. I want to obey God, including his fourth commandment. Come. Come. Jesus said, he's Lord of the Sabbath. Please Christ by obeying his fourth commandment. 30 seconds, come. I know you're afraid of something. That's human. Human beings are afraid. But Jesus says, come to me. Come, I will give you rest. Rest from fear, rest from anxiety. 20 seconds, then I pray. I want to obey God. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Obedience is the highest expression of love that a sinner can give to God. The highest. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's itemize the commandments. If you love me, keep the Sabbath. If you love me, have no other gods. But for now, if you love me, keep my Sabbath. Come. 10 seconds. Come. Father, I can do all things through Christ. Never have an excuse for disobedience. Always find ways to obey. Never look for ways to disobey. 5 seconds. Father, I want to obey you, including your fourth commandment. Anybody else? Make sure we get the names. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now the final call. This is the last day of the meetings. Someone perhaps will decide right now, I want to be ready for the next baptism. Can I see your hand? I want to be ready for the next baptism. Let me see your hand. Raise it quickly. I want to be ready for the next baptism. Raise your hand. All right. I have a hand back there. Did someone see that hand? I want to be ready for the next baptism. Raise your hand again so we can see it. I hope I'm not seeing things. I want to be ready for the next baptism. Raise your hand quickly. Then I will pray. The next baptism. All right. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Father in heaven, in my weak human way, I've delivered the message and everlasting love. Father, you gave yourself in Christ. It's a mystery. But it's a mystery we need to try to understand. We thank you, dear Father, for giving yourself in your Son. The 3 days he spent in the tomb, his suffering was eased for 3 days. Yours continued. You love us, dear God, and we're not even aware of how much you love us. We've learned a little today, and we thank you, dear God, for such love, an everlasting love. And Father, many men and women, boys and girls have answered a call. Who will give themselves to God 100%? And Father, many have come. And of that group, dear God, some have made a decision to obey your fourth commandment because we can only love you through obedience. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, if you truly love us as you say, if you're not willing that any should perish, let your Spirit work vigorously now to convict someone who's resisting. Having said that, dear God, I will take 30 more seconds and call for the last time. Someone else come and say, I want to keep God's fourth commandment. Come. 30 seconds. Come. Come where I am. Come. 25 seconds. Come. As the Spirit speaks, come. I want to obey God. Come. 20 seconds. Someone else come. 15 seconds. God loves you. He did something. You love him. We must do something. 10 seconds. I want to obey God. And the area where I'm disobeying is the fourth commandment. One more step. Take that step. Obey God's law. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 5 seconds. Who else will come? And I will pray after that. 4 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Father, I called again. Now I leave it in your hands. Continue to wrestle with those who need to surrender. Bless those who've come, dear God. Bless them, Father. Blessing is your natural behavior. Bless them and sustain them. And for those of us who've recommitted our lives, 100%, Father, sustain us during this day. If we open our eyes tomorrow, let us renew that surrender 100%. We thank you, dear God, for an everlasting love. We thank you for your word has opened our eyes to understand how much you love. Not only Jesus loves us, you love us. The angels love us. The entire heavenly family loves us. We thank you for that. And Father, let us think of this love before we sin. Let us think of this love before we engage in the things of the world. Let this love be the power that constrains us. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. Bless those watching via the internet, dear God. As we leave this place, let us meditate on what we've heard. And when you come in your kingdom, dear God, save us, we pray, that we may live in a land where all will be obedient to love. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, Why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.